We are in Luke chapter 15, again, as we continue our really quick little three-week series on Jesus' parable of the prodigal son. Now, last week we focused on the younger brother, and this week we'll focus on the older brother, and next week we'll focus on the father. But last week, just a quick reminder, the younger brother sort of initiates this parable by demanding that his father give him his share of the inheritance. And then he goes and he squanders it on wild living and prostitutes and all of these things. And we saw that basically by asking his father for his inheritance while the father was still alive, it was akin to the younger son saying, "I wish you were dead. I wish you were gone. I want to no longer have any relationship with you. I don't want your presence in my life in any way." And so he left, intending to live the rest of his life apart from the Father. But in the first part of the parable, we saw that the young man's money ran out, and his friends left, and he reached this point of complete isolation and near starvation. And just before he would have died, he comes to his senses. He returns to his father, realizing that if his father will just take him back as a hired servant, he will have food to eat, he will have shelter, and he will be better off than he is all alone. But instead, the father, surprisingly, shockingly for the son, completely welcomes him back as a son and puts a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet and a robe on him, and they have a great celebration at the return of the son. And this could have been the end of the story. Jesus could have just stopped right there, and it would have been an incredible story, an incredible teaching about redemption and about God's welcoming back of a sinner who had strayed away. But Jesus has so much more for us. In this teaching, he has more to tell us. This depth and richness and nuance that Jesus wants to give us. So the younger son returns. The father calls for this great celebration. And just as the party is getting into full swing, the older brother returns from the fields. And that's where we'll pick things up today. Luke 15, starting at verse 25. "Now the older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound.' But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him. But he answered his father, 'Look, these many years I have served you, and I never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him?' And he said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found.'" It is easy in this parable to recognize that the younger brother is lost. The part that we talked about last week. It's very easy to recognize that he was lost. But there's so much more in this story. And Jesus is teaching us that both of these brothers are lost. Both are lost. The younger brother actively rebelled. He brought shame upon his father. Public shame. He squandered all the inheritance. But Jesus makes it clear that the older brother is just as far from the father, even though he's still at home. Both sons need healing. Even though the older brother never stopped living at home, he still needed to come home. So who is the older brother in this parable? Who is the older brother? If you look back to the start of the chapter, Luke 15, verse 1, it says this. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near him, and the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. And Jesus tells three parables here. He tells about the lost coin, the lost sheep, the lost sons. But this is about the Pharisees and the scribes, the people that Jesus had so many interactions with, but who were always at a distance from him. But who are these people today? Who are the Pharisees and the scribes today? For surely the scripture speaks to us today. And I think the person who best fits this description of the older brother today is the religious person who looks down in judgment upon other people. That's what the scribes and Pharisees did, right? They thought they were better, they were holy, and they looked down with contempt on other people. As we did last week, I want you to consider this painting again of Rembrandt's painting of the prodigal son. Last week we focused on the younger brother, but this week I want you to notice the older brother standing off to the side here, looking down on everything in judgment, looking down at his sinful younger brother. Now this pose here, this sort of posture, this attitude, is how far too many religious people today, church people, view the world. This sort of judgmentalism is one of the main temptations, I believe, one of the potential heart problems for a church like ours, a suburban, middle-class kind of church. I think this is one of our biggest temptations. So I want us to just do a little heart check this morning as we think about the older brother. Check your heart and your attitude and compare it to the heart of the Father. Do you look like this? Is this a description of you? How do you view people who might be doing things that you disapprove of, or harmful things? Who are some of the people that we might be tempted to look at with contempt today? And I want your feedback here. I want to hear some answers. As you just think about the news today. Okay. Colin Kaepernick, Super Bowl quarterback, decides 2 years ago, I guess, as a response to some of the perceived injustices and things in society, in our country, that when the national anthem's playing, he's not going to stand and honor the flag. He's going to kneel through the national anthem, right? So is it tempting when somebody's kneeling, especially for a veteran with a son in the service? Is it tempting to look at that person with contempt? Do you see some of the older brother there? Some of you know one of the things that I do on Friday nights is referee high school football. So last week this issue came up because we had to talk about it. What happens? How do we respond if players are responding like this? And my advice to my crew was, we do nothing. We do our thing. It's not our deal. We stand, we honor the flag during the national anthem, and we make no comments about anything else going on. Players who are trying to make a statement, and whatever we think of that statement and their approach to it, these are human beings who we could dehumanize and look at with contempt instead of trying to understand, and even in some cases trying to reach. Right? The father doesn't look at contempt. So great example. Colin Kaepernick. What else comes to mind? Who's hard to love? Who's hard to look at with compassion and love? Same kind of thing. Drug dealers, people who are causing problems in society. I think for some people, I've heard this a lot. Whether I agreed or disagreed with the president, I've always been able to pray for the president. But now, this time, it's really hard. Some people really have a hard time praying for President Trump. And I just want to say there's an attitude and approach of contempt that we could have, and we don't have to agree with what everybody's doing and what everybody's saying, and certainly not every tweet that the president sends out. But are we looking down with contempt at people, or are we looking with the eyes of the Father? So we could think of all kinds of examples. Just on the news this week, I was seeing all these people arrested for vandalism and breaking windows at stores. I saw a story about white supremacists. Saw a story about a prostitution ring on Washington Avenue that they're trying to crack down on. I mean, you name it. And we don't have to look to these extreme examples, right? I mean, you can just look to the person that you work with. Somebody in your family. Maybe somebody in this room with you today. I think this temptation of contempt and being judgmental of others is something that we struggle with. And I realize every day there's a lot of that older brother in me that still is not like the father. So what about you? How's your heart? Do you have the heart of the father, or do you have the heart of the older brother? Now, the way in which the older brother is painted in this painting is also interesting, because you see he's got some characteristics of the father. They look a lot alike. They both are wearing these same red coats. But Rembrandt intentionally puts all this space between the older brother and the father just to show there's a big gap here. There's a lot of space. His heart is not the heart of the father's. It's very far from the father's. And this older brother in the parable, in the painting, is unwilling to participate in the welcoming home of his brother. Right? That's clear. This older brother is lost. And his lostness, I submit to you, is much harder to identify than the lostness of the younger brother. A little more tricky. I mean, the younger brother, his sin was obvious. He misused his money, wasted his time. his friends, destroyed his own body, rebelled against his father, and allowed himself to be completely controlled by lust and greed, self-interest. And once he realized where all that led, then he came back to the Father. It's a pretty straightforward story. But the lostness of the older son is much harder to identify. Because so much of what he does looks right. It looks good. He stays home. He has a job. He works hard in his father's fields. He is respectable. I don't think this older brother ever went around throwing bricks through store windows when he was upset about something. I don't think he did that. He didn't kneel during the national anthem. He looks good on the outside. But the older brother is the one who Jesus, time and time and time again in the Gospels, has the harshest things to say. It's directed towards him, to the Pharisee, the one who everybody knows is an upstanding citizen, who attends church, who tithes their money and is respectable in every way. This is why it's so hard to identify his lostness. His lostness is tied to a confused and warped desire to be good, desire to please God, desire to live righteously. This is why it is also so much harder for the older brother to be saved. It's harder to convince somebody that they need help when they don't think they need help. It's hard to get somebody to the doctor when they don't think they're sick. It's hard to convince somebody to come home when they think they're already at home. But there are several things in this parable that reveal to us just how lost this older brother is. He's angry. Do you see that? He is angry. His heart is angry. When he heard that his younger brother had returned, it says, but he was angry. That's his response. His younger brother's been gone, thought to be dead, and he returns, and his response is anger. Think about just how off that is, how wrong that is, how crazy that is. But many of us have allowed our hearts to become angry. Have you become an angry person? I feel like the church as a whole has become angry. So maybe this doesn't apply to any of us individually in here, but I suspect if you search your heart, you might be able to find that there's some anger that has developed. And how much of that anger is like the older brother in the parable? It says, in his anger, he refused to go in. He wouldn't go into the celebration. He refused. He heard all the music, all the celebrating, the dancing. He should have been joining his father in embracing his younger brother. But he didn't, because he is unable to enter into the joy of the Father. And the Father has a lot of joy, doesn't he? What a picture of God here. You know, God is the most joyful being in the universe. Are you able to enter into the joy of the Father? You'll never be able to enter into the joy of the Father while you are looking down in self-righteous judgment upon other people. And the older brother was self-righteous. He said, I have served you and I never disobeyed your commands. How deluded. This is like the rich young ruler who told Jesus, oh, I've followed all the commands. I've never broken one of the commands. Well, maybe this is how you feel. Maybe you grew up in the church and you feel like you've never really rebelled, never really fought against God, never squandered your inheritance on prostitutes. But there's a lot of people who have never wandered away from home, but who have never learned how to live freely in the Father's home. They've never been free. Never known the joy of the Father. Not really. Maybe they can check off all the answers and quote the verses, but never really entered into the joy of the Father. You see, joy cannot coexist with anger. Joy can't coexist with resentment. And whenever Jesus welcomed sinners and welcomed tax collectors and all these people he ate with and celebrated, and there was joy. But for the Pharisees, there was always resentment. And they complained. They said things like, surely this man isn't a prophet. If he were a prophet, he would know the kind of people who he's eating with. He would know what kind of woman this is who's greeting him. He wouldn't associate with such people. See, they completely miss his heart, and so they cannot enter his joy. But Jesus says they must either join him in welcoming sinners, or they remain separated from the heart of the Father. Oh, the older brother's lost, because his heart is completely separated from the heart of the Father. His lostness is just so subtle that he doesn't even know that he's lost. In fact, he of all people would be the last one to think that he's lost. It's much easier to return home from a lustful escapade than from a cold-hearted, self-righteous anger that you're not even aware of. The heart of the older brother is so impoverished. So how can you return home when you're living in anger and resentment, and when you don't even know you're lost? You don't even know that you've left home. You have to allow God to reach into your heart and save you. Jesus constantly shocked the self-righteous people of his day. Told a very respectful Nicodemus, you must be born again. What? Your righteousness will never save you. You can't be good enough. You can't change your heart. You must be born again. You must let God do it. Now, one more thing here that shows the lostness of the older brother. Did you notice the way that he referred to his younger brother? Did you notice what he said there? He says to the father, but when this son of yours came, you killed the fattened calf for him. Did you notice that? He won't even call him his own brother. This son of yours. With the words, this son of yours, he is not only distancing himself from his brother, he is distancing himself from his father. But the father reminds him, this is not just my son, this is your brother. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this, your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. Your brother. See, there's an opportunity for your brother to come home, to be part of the family. But you don't even see him as a potential brother anymore. I mean, there's a lot here that we could think about in terms of outreach and the way we look at people who are outside of the church and maybe even harmful to society. Do you see this as a person who the Father loves and is drawing in? This could be your brother. You don't see that when you look at somebody as a non-human. You dehumanize them. In this great tragedy for older brother types, those of us who struggle with this, is that we can't experience the joy of the Father. We just can't enter into it. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. The Father's love is expressing itself. It's overflowing. It's pouring out as God's love always does. But the older son remains outside of that circle. There's this wall up and he can't enter. He refuses to enter. But the father doesn't just stay in the home and invite the older brother in. I love this part of it too. We know the father ran out to meet the younger son, right? If you're familiar with the parable, you know the father runs and meets the older son outside the home and welcomes him in. But did you know that he does the same thing with the older son? He loves them both. He wants them both to know his joy. Not only did he come out to meet the older brother, but it says here, his father came out and entreated him. He's pleading with him. Son, this is your brother. He's pleading with him. He goes out to meet him, begging him to come in. Son, lay down your anger. Enter into my joy. Know my love. Share my heart. Now, at this point, the older brother has a choice. It's just like the younger brother that we saw last week. He has a choice. He can return to the father, or he can remain outside of the father's home. And we need to recognize that God's kingdom always operates on the basis of invitation. Just think about the gospel. Think about the stories where Jesus meets people. God desires a relationship with us. Whether you're the lost younger brother or the lost older brother, either one, God wants you to be found. He desires a relationship with you. He invites us in. The Bible uses images like him knocking at the door and inviting us into fellowship with him. But the Father's love is never forced in the Bible. It's never forced. He doesn't drag the older brother in, just like he didn't drag the younger brother in. Salvation is described as a gift in the Bible. It has to be received. It's never imposed. So we see the father pleading and running out to meet his son. He desperately wants to heal us and save us and make us free and welcome us in. He wants the younger brother to come back home. He wants the older brother to come home and share his heart. But you are free if you want to remain outside of his love in the darkness. He'll let you. But what is so clear in this parable is that no matter what we've done, no matter what separates us from God, no matter what sin you've committed that keeps you away from God, whether the most rebellious, active, leaving home that could ever be done, or whether the most cold-hearted, pharisaical, older brother, contempt, either extreme, he is always coming out to meet us and inviting us home, welcoming us to share his life and his heart. Oh, he loves both sons equally. And he calls the older brother son. Did you see that? See, the older son accuses God of loving the younger son more. You never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. I mean, look what you've done for my brother here. But it's not true. The father loves them both equally. He goes out to the older son just as he did to the younger. He urges them both to come in. He says to the older brother, "Son, my son, you are always with me and all that is mine is yours." Some of you might need to hear this morning. God really does love you. He really does. He really calls you his son and his daughter. And he says, "You are always with me." See, the father's not comparing his two sons. He's loving them both completely. And that's one of the fascinating things about the Father. He loves each one of us, and he meets us right where we're at individually. He meets the younger brother where he needs to be met. He meets the older brother where he needs to be met. He loves you uniquely. And we'll talk about that a little more next week when we talk about the Father and we wrap up this series. The Father is... His love is limitless. So we're not told in the parable, really, whether the older brother ever entered his father's home and joined in the celebration. We're not really told. But it appears that he did not, doesn't it? From what we're told, he never does embrace his younger brother. Never did enter deeply into his father's love. But you can. You can. You don't have to stay outside. You don't have to keep that wall up that keeps you away from the father, that keeps your heart from becoming like his. Trust in him. Recognize that God himself runs out to meet you and longs to bring you home. But you must let yourself be found. You can't save yourself. You can't set your own heart free. You can't take away your own anger and resentment. But maybe you can recognize it. Recognize that your heart is not the heart of the Father's. And you can allow yourself to be found and to be healed and to be held and to be loved and to be joyfully welcomed into his presence. Oh, the Father wants you home with him. He wants you in his kingdom. Let yourself be found. Let yourself be loved. And then you will find that you can actually love others freely because you are loved. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you so much for the love that you show for all people. Lord, it doesn't matter if we're sitting here this morning having run as far from you as we possibly could, or if we're sitting here this morning separated from you because we tried to make ourselves so close to you that we've become a Pharisee. Lord, no matter where we are at, we know where you are at. You are right there pleading with us to come home, to be held and loved and accepted and forgiven, to live freely in your kingdom. Lord, for some of us who may struggle with this older brother syndrome, for some of us, it is really hard because we don't always recognize that we're lost. But Lord, we know that we're not living in freedom in your kingdom. We know that in our hearts is more resentment than joy. Father, we submit ourselves to you. We trust in you. We accept your offer to bring us home. Lord, would you do your work in our hearts, and then through our lives out to the lives of other people. And I pray that this church would not be characterized by our resentment and our self-righteousness and by the things that we stand against, but that we would primarily be recognized and characterized and known in this community by the love and the grace and the gospel that goes forth from us out to this world. Lord, make us more like the Father. In your name we pray. Amen.